Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Pastor Barry asked me about 6 weeks ago if I would share a message with you this morning, and it's actually taken me about that long to prepare it. This morning's message won't be very long, but hopefully it will be pertinent for us this morning and relevant. Can you hear me? Okay? All right. Okay. So I wasn't able to put any sermon notes into the Tithely app for you this morning, but you're welcome to follow along in your Bibles. This morning we will be reading from Mark 13, verses 32 through 37. So you can turn there if you'd like. So I don't know about you, but I don't make New Year's resolutions. I tried for a number of years, but within a few months of the new year beginning, every time I would have already failed at keeping my resolution. And sometimes it didn't even take a few months, sometimes it took a few weeks, and sometimes just a few days. But the only resolution I ever made that actually stuck was the year that I resolved to never again make another New Year's resolution. And I've been very successful at keeping that. But one thing I do, as 1 year is drawing to a close and the new year is about to begin, I start asking the Lord if he has a message or a word for me for the year ahead. And what I've found through the years is that by doing this, what he says to me is incredibly relevant and actually very revealing, and at times it just becomes sort of a focus for the new year ahead. This year, well, December, as I prayed and asked him for a word, he literally gave me a word, one word. And the word was occupy. And so when Pastor Barry asked me if I would share today's message, I knew that I wanted to talk to you about what the Lord has put on my heart about occupying our time as we wait for the Lord's return. So let's take a look at today's verses. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to keep watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Let's just pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray this morning, Lord, that your anointing would be on this word and that you would just bless what is said, Lord. I pray that you would open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. And I pray that you will help us to receive what each one of us is supposed to receive from the word this morning. Be glorified, God, in all that is said and done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 2019, I had a meaningful encounter with the Lord, and I actually shared it with this congregation at that time, but I want to share it again because I think it's really relevant to what the Lord said to me in December about occupy. So that, what happened back in 2019, I have a small master bathroom just off of my bedroom, and at that time, I had a clock on the wall that ticked fairly loudly. And so one evening, I was getting ready for bed, and I walked into the bathroom, and I realized that the clock had stopped ticking. Now, I like the sound of a ticking clock, and so I noticed its absence almost immediately. And as I stood there in the silence, I began to have this conversation with the Lord, in which he said, "Time's up." And I said, "No, Lord, please. There are still so many people who don't believe." And he said, "Everybody runs out of time." And I said, "Please, Lord, start the clock again." And he said, "What will you do with the time if I do?" Well, I went to bed that night with that question on my mind, and I was still thinking about it when I got up the next morning and I was in my living room reading my Bible. If I knew that time was almost up and God was giving me a little bit more, what would I do with it? Would I spend my time in bitterness and unforgiveness, or would I make things right with the people in my life? Would I focus on myself, or would I focus on the kingdom? Would I spend time doing my own thing, or would I be pursuing his will? Well, I got up and I left the living room and I went into my bedroom that morning to spend some time in prayer. And as I began to pray, the clock started ticking again. Well, that was a really powerful reminder for me of the shortness of time that we have left, and that what we have right now is a time of grace. And yet, for as meaningful as that message, that encounter was, I admit that I actually hadn't given it a lot of thought through the years until the Lord gave me the word occupy. And as soon as he gave me the word occupy, the memory of that morning came back to me. Well, it was only a few months after that morning, after that encounter, that all COVID broke loose. And one thing is for sure, and we are closer to the Lord's return now than we were in 2019, and time is running out. And so this morning, let's talk about occupying our time. Well, there are countless ways that we can occupy our time. Life's demands are endless. There's work and school, bills to pay, commitments to keep, housework, homework, yard work, paperwork, kids, parents, pets, in-laws, cooking, cleaning, errands, meetings, emails to send, texts to return, phone calls to make, and somewhere in there, we might try to fit in a vacation or maybe just a nap. The problem with all of these demands is that it often leaves us so busy or so worn out or so distracted that it can be hard for us to focus on the Master's work. But in the text that we just read, we read that the master left his home to his servants and gave each his work to do. And so for each of us, there is work that we need to be doing for him as well. Now we know, and the Lord knows, that the things in our lives have to be done. We're still living life here on earth, and there are many demands on our time. But somehow we need to be intentional about doing the master's work while we're living life. And I think that really comes from having a kingdom focus. We understand that we are here for much more than just living life as it comes to us, but that there is a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And so we intentionally live with the gospel out front and with a Jesus-centered focus in all that we do. I know that there are people here already who are intentionally putting times of ministry and evangelism into their already very overfull schedules, and others who are faithfully ministering to the people in their lives every single day. Some of us are handing out walking sticks or looking for other organizations that we can serve with and share the gospel that way. But I think that in whatever way we can, we need to be intentional about getting the gospel message out. Right now, we have a window of opportunity in Canada because we are still free to practice our faith without the fear of arrest or punishment or any real persecution. But that window is very quickly closing. We are rapidly losing the right to speak up against the things that are wrong in our society and that are in opposition to God's word. And now in other countries around the world, that window has already closed. But we still have time, and I think we need to be taking advantage of the time that we have. And so this morning I want to talk about 3 points: waiting, watching, and working. So the first point is waiting. Waiting on the Lord as we wait for the Lord. And so what does it mean to wait on the Lord? Well, first of all, waiting on the Lord is active. It's not passive. It's not us standing around and just twiddling our thumbs and biding our time until the Lord returns. But it's a productive waiting. We're not waiting for nothing. In our text, the workers in the house were waiting for the master's return, and they were busy while they waited. One of the Hebrew translations of the word wait, which we see in Isaiah 40:31, is kavav, which literally means to bind or twist together, like twisting together 2 strands of a rope. When we wait on the Lord, it's a time of binding together with him. So waiting is a time of strengthening. In fact, the Bible tells us that we're able to walk and to run and to not grow weary or faint when we're waiting on the Lord. And those are not passive things. So let me ask you this. If Jesus told you he was coming to your house tomorrow for lunch at noon, what would you do? What would any of us do while we were waiting? Would we sit on the couch and sip a glass of iced tea and just set our feet up and relax while we were waiting for him to arrive? Or would we be busy cleaning our house and getting things in order? Would we be inviting our friends and our neighbors and our families to come and to meet with Jesus? One thing is for sure, whatever we were doing, we would not be idle. We would be actively getting ready as we waited for him. And the scenario I just told, Jesus told us when he was coming, tomorrow for lunch at noon. But in truth, we don't know when he's coming. It could be morning, evening, or midnight, we don't know. But we do know he's coming, and we know he's coming soon. And so while we wait, we are actively seeking him through prayer and studying his word. We wait with anticipation, hope, and expectation of his return and of what he's going to do and what we can do for him while we're waiting. We seek him and his will and how we can serve him. We're drawing closer to him and getting to know his heart and his character and his will. And so waiting is active. And while we're waiting, we're watching. I think the signs of the times are pretty clear and easy to see if we're watching and if we know what the Bible says about these days that we're living in. Four times in our text from this morning, Jesus said, "Watch." Jesus told us in the Olivet Discourse what the signs of the times would be and what to watch for. He wants us to be aware. He wants us to know what time it is. He wants us to keep watch. As we look around the world today, we don't have to look very far to see the downward spiral of society and that morality, truth, and godliness have been cast by the wayside. We don't have to look much farther than the evening news or the internet to see evidence of this. And I think we have to be careful about what we see and what we believe. I'm not talking about conspiracy theories because there are a lot of them out there. But what can we actually see happening and how does it line up with Scripture? And how does it motivate us and compel us to get our lives in order and to be sharing the message of hope that we have in Jesus with others? Here are just a few examples of what Jesus said to watch for. Wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Well, there are wars taking place all around our world, but the most notable of them, of course, currently is Russia and Ukraine, which has had a global impact. And the impact on the people of Russia and Ukraine alone is so significant. Their death toll after 1 year of war is in the tens of thousands, not to mention the multitudes of people who have lost their homes and have lost everything. Earthquakes. So look at what just happened in Turkey and Syria. This was among the most deadly earthquakes in recent history, killing more than 50,000 people so far. I mean, they haven't even been able to recover all of the dead. The aftershocks alone brought down buildings, and tremors were felt as far away as Lebanon, Greece, Israel, and the island of Cyprus. 84,000 buildings in Turkey have either been severely damaged or have collapsed altogether or have to be brought down. Well, plagues. We've all felt the effects of that over the past few years, and these are just some of the things that Jesus told us to watch for. And they are happening in ever-increasing frequency and with ever-increasing intensity. Jesus told us that these were just the beginnings of birth pangs, and then isn't that exactly what a birth pang is? Ever-increasing intensity and ever-increasing frequency. In fact, if we go up a little bit in our text to Mark 13, 28 through 31, it says this. Now learn this from the parable of the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say, this generation will by no means pass away till all of these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And then he goes on to tell us to watch. Now, these are the signs of the times. The apostles wrote about the decay of society and that men would become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. And in the church, we would see apostasy and disobedience to parents and false doctrines and false teachers. And we're seeing all of these things in ever-increasing measure. Now, Jesus didn't tell us to watch for these things so that we can be afraid. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but that instead we can be hopeful. We can look up and see that our redemption draws near. But this is not going to be a time of hope for those who don't believe. And so my third point is working. Now, you know, as Christians, we don't retire from our work for the Lord here on earth. As long as we're here, there's work for us to do, and the Bible is very, very clear about that. Jesus told a parable about the minas, a master who gave his servants a certain number of minas and told each of the servants to do business until he came. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Jude tells us to rescue people by snatching them from the flames. Jesus commissioned us to go, to preach, to baptize, to disciple. Paul exhorted Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. Ephesians tells us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. We are supposed to be busy about our Father's work. Now, if we ask the Lord for opportunities to share the gospel, he will grant them to us. He is far more invested in seeing souls saved than we could ever be. A little while ago, I was leaving a store, and I saw a man outside the store who wasn't asking for anything or begging at all, but he was very clearly homeless, and the Lord nudged me to go and talk to the man, and so I did. I went and spoke to him for some time, and we really engaged about Jesus. I was really able to share with Jesus with him and encourage him in that. And more recently, I was in Costco, and I had the opportunity just to put my hand on the shoulder of a man who needed a touch in that moment, and I was able to encourage him in Jesus as well. You know, if we are sincerely seeking the Lord and asking him to give us opportunities to share the gospel, he will do so. I know that there are people here who have seen opportunities in front of them to talk to people about Jesus, and they've taken those opportunities. Peter tells us to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have and to do it with gentleness and respect. And I think if we just walk with our eyes open and our hands and our hearts open to those around us, we will see opportunities to minister Jesus to those who are in need of him. But we need to be intentional about sharing our faith and available for the Lord to use us. Several years ago, I was working downtown in an office building that was located between Sheldon Shumir and the Mustard Seed. I was taking the bus to work every day, and it was a fairly long commute for me. I would drive partway, I would bus partway, and I'd walk partway, and it took me about an hour to get to work every day. But parking wasn't provided for me, so busing was the only option. Now, because of where my office was located, between Sheldon Shumir and the Mustard Seed, I was daily surrounded by a fairly rough crowd of people. Lots of people who were addicted to alcohol and drugs, or who were dealing drugs, people who were homeless, living in compromised lifestyles, and very difficult, and at times hopeless, situations. But it was during those years that I had some of the most amazing interactions with people, and I saw the hand of God at work on a regular basis. I saw things that were both very demonic and things that were very miraculous. Being in that atmosphere every day, I just felt so alive and so full of purpose because I got to talk to people and touch people and interact with them every day. Well, then a couple of people in my workplace left, and their parking spots became available, so I began driving to work. Well, it was quick, and it was comfortable and convenient. It was warm in the winter. And after driving for a little while, though, I remember lamenting to the Lord on the way to work one day that I just felt so dry. I told him that I used to see amazing things happening all the time, and I missed those experiences with him and with people. Now, knowing the Lord as I do, I am sure he did not roll his eyes at me. But I do feel like he said to me, "Well, that's because you're driving to work every day, sitting alone in your car." And I thought, well, I guess that kind of makes sense. What do I expect to happen when I'm sitting here by myself day after day? And so I went back to busing. You see, if we want to see the wonderful hand of God at work and to be making an impact on the people around us, then we need to be intentionally out where the people who need him are. You know, God did not call us to isolate in our homes or in our cars, as was my case, and to live life unto ourselves. You know, our flesh might want to do that, just to shut the door and to lock out the world and to stay at home with our creature comforts. But I think we need to be willing to lean into the Spirit and to be willing to do what he wants us to do, even when it's inconvenient. Jesus said that we're supposed to be a city on a hill. He said that nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl, but they put it on a stand and it gives light to the whole house. And we're the light of the world. Who are we reaching if we're sitting at home by ourselves or driving in our cars and we're never out where the people are? 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15 says this: "Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." There is a day coming when we will stand before Jesus with the work that we have done for him, and he will test it with fire. What was the attitude behind our work? Did we do it for his glory or for ours? Were we bold, and did we go? If our work withstands the fire of his testing, we will be rewarded. But if not, then we suffer loss. Now, this is not about salvation for the Christian. We are already saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But this is about the testing of what we've done for him. So there is work for us to do. Well, I'm working from home now, and I don't have the same access to people that I used to have. And so I have to be intentional about finding ways to share the gospel, which is why I love handing out the walking sticks or the other opportunities I get to have when I'm serving with the Hope Bags team. I would like to suggest this morning that each one of us should be looking for ways that we can be sharing Jesus with the people around us. You know, every one of us is here because somebody told us about Jesus. You know, the kingdom is his, and we need to be building his kingdom. So I was listening recently to a sermon by Francis Chan, and he said something that spoke to me. I don't know if this was the full meaning of his message or what he was really intending to get across, but this is what I got out of it. So he told a story about a picture he had in his mind of a fishing boat that was out in the ocean. And the boat, while out fishing, it got caught in a storm. And waves were sweeping over the deck, and the boat was being crashed, you know, battered on every side by the waves and wind that were crashing against it. You know, when Francis said that the men on the boat, you know, they went out to catch fish, and they got caught in a storm. Now, they couldn't stop the storm from coming, but they could still catch the fish. And the same is true for us. You know, we can't stop the storm from coming either, but we can still catch the fish. Jesus told Peter that he would be a fisher of men, and we are commissioned to do the same. Even though the window of opportunity is closing, and even though we can see a storm coming, we're still responsible to be fishers of men. I was reading in Jeremiah a little while ago, and there's a question in Jeremiah 12:5 that really made me stop and think when I read it, and I haven't stopped thinking about it since, and the question is this. If you have run with footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? If we right now have things easy in our country to share the gospel, and we're not taking advantage of the time that we have, what are we going to do when the window closes? Because our responsibility won't change, only our ease of access. Now I want to say this on a hopeful note, because Hebrews tells us to encourage one another and to stir one another up toward love and good works. And so I don't want to scare us this morning. I want to encourage us. First of all, we never work alone. Mark 16:20 says, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age," even in 2023, even when the window is closing. No matter what time it is, no matter what's happening in the world around us, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we see, we are never alone. And you know, we don't actually have to go alone physically either. We can go with others. You know, Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. Find people to minister with. Join an organization. There's strength in numbers. There's encouragement in numbers. Here's a couple of stories, I think, that will just give us some hope. A move of God recently swept across the college campuses in the United States, starting at Asbury College in Kentucky, the same place that revival began back in 1970. And this move of God here in 2023, it spread to other college campuses as well. And from what I understand, there's still pockets of this movement still going on. The Spirit of God fell. People were convicted and were repenting. People were coming from all around to experience this move of God. People were being saved. And I don't believe that that has to be isolated to the United States or to the college campuses there. I believe we can see a move of God happen here in our city and in our nation too. We just have to contend for it, believe for it, press in for it, and ask God to send it. You know, these nations that we talked about earlier, where the window has closed on sharing the gospel freely, are some of the same nations where the church is growing faster than anywhere else in the world because the people continue to preach Jesus even in the midst of severe persecution. God gives them the boldness to do so, and he can give us the same boldness now if we ask him. You know, the darkness might be all around us, but there's a light that the darkness cannot overcome, and his name is Jesus. So we can go boldly and joyfully in his name and take the hope and peace that we have in Jesus to the world around us. I'm praying for revival here, and I want to be part of it. And as a church, we've been praying Calgary for Christ, so we need to be actively engaged in doing our part to see a move of God here in our nation. At this point, can I just ask the worship team to come forward? There are so many ways that we can occupy our time for Jesus. There's so many things that we can be doing for him. Let's just settle in our hearts right now that we're going to be the faithful servants who are found busy doing the master's work when he comes. Jesus asked this question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? There's a whole world of people who do not have the hope that we have, who may be looking at these days through the eyes of fear or confusion or with the sense of hopelessness, but we have the answer. We have the remedy for their problem, their concern, and his name is Jesus. So let's be faithful in sharing the message of hope that we have in Jesus with those around us. I just want to take a second now and pray. And just ask the Lord to give us willing hearts to step out and do the work that the Lord has for each one of us to do. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for your word. I thank you for showing us, God, how we can be busy about our Father's work and occupying our time as we wait for the arrival of our soon and coming King. Lord, I pray, just stir our hearts and wake us up and send the latter rain, Lord God, to make us bold for you. Lord, I pray that you would make us courageous and give us opportunities and open doors to share the gospel with people. And Lord, when we see those opportunities, not to back away from them, Lord God, but to step into them. I pray, God, that you will help us to be intentional about sharing your word, Lord. And I pray that you would bless our efforts and make us effective in all that we do. Lord, I pray, let us see your kingdom come and your will done here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.